You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 189 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, March 12th of 2019, and all the way here in Kansas City, I'm your host, J.R. Cook, and I'm joined by our full crew over in New Hampshire, where Maple Sundaes and cider donuts are popular desserts. We have Danny and Ray.
Danny,
yeah,
how's it
they
going?
Are.
Yeah, you gotta love those pastries, man.
Yeah. So, Danny, how have you been?
Good. Haven't played much Hearthstone. Been in a bit of a lull. Wild Met is not super duper exciting right now, but I've played a bit, but not that much.
Yeah. What have you been doing otherwise?
I've been playing auto chess. I'm currently Bishop 4, and going up, I'm going to be Rook soon.
This week in Hearthstone.
just because Danny's betrayed us doesn't mean I also get come on man, I've been playing Hearthstone. I've been playing lots of Hearthstone, actually.
You've been playing Hearthstone nonstop, I do believe, Ray.
Hey, I deserve a break. I had my wild period where I was intensive into Hearthstone for a super duper long time, and that time's true. Over until the next expansion.
Yeah,
that's true. You guys had a solid 1 month of playing, and then how long was it in between the tournament and qualifying? Was it another month before the tournament? So it was 3 months.
It was about 3 weeks or so. So okay. Yeah, I mean, I was playtesting every day for multiple hours on end just after work and stuff with people. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's a grind.
It is.
The Hearthstone grind, baby.
Yeah, speaking of the Hearthstone grind, Ray.
Oh boy.
What have you been up to?
Blowing my brains out, playing Open Cups.
How many hours this week do you have in Hearthstone with Open Cups of waiting?
Oh, with waiting?
Yeah, with waiting.
Oh, God. You have to consider it to a full-time job at that point.
honestly, waiting is 90% of it, so... It's probably, waiting. Ugh. It's that episode of South Park where Cartman buys his theme park so he doesn't have to wait in lines. That's how I feel, dude. It's probably play 20 minutes to a half hour of Hearthstone each round on average. And then you wait another hour to 2 hours for the Auto Warriors to finish. So yeah. I would say each Open Cup takes around anywhere from 12 to 14 hours. Or longer, but on average, I'd say 12 to 14. And you're probably, if you play all the eight rounds of Swiss, you're probably only playing 4 hours of it.
So 75% of your time is waiting.
If not more, yeah. At least 75% of your time is waiting, for sure.
Does it speed up towards the end where it's all the odd warrior players get knocked out, or?
You would think that, but then all the people who are just X2 and stuff, they just end up playing it out because it's one more round and there's you can get more packs or whatever, even though it's one more pack. So I would, originally my theory was that it would speed up quite a bit, which it sort of does, but it doesn't speed up nearly as much as I would like it to. There are still a lot of people that are playing towards the end, and that mainly has to do with the amount of casual players that are just I want my free packs, bro.
Yeah,
which makes sense. I mean, I'm not gonna knock their free pack hustle, but this definitely makes it more of a grind for people who are just trying to get it over with, you know.
How many Open Cups have you been in so far this week? Just this week.
It's
only been a week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's only been a week. So this week I've only played in there wasn't any yesterday or today, or there's one today, so there was only one because I took Saturday and Sunday off.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I played two back-to-back, it just burned me out super hard, so I wanted to take Saturday off and hang out with people.
Mm-hmm.
And do stuff. And then Sunday, I guess I played in one Sunday, but it was an anomaly. I just got wrecked. I played Rogue, and I went like 1-2 because I played Odd Paladin twice, and I wanted to cry. So I don't count that. That one doesn't count. That was a fluke.
And you made what, top 8 once?
Top 8 and then X2.
Yeah.
So I whiffed by one round. One of the tournaments got top 8 on the other one, and then in top 8, I was like super hyped because I was like, I had pretty like,
you were undefeated 50-50. In Swiss, right?
I was, but then I conceded the last round just to go eat.
Oh.
Because the admin said I could do that, and I wanted to eat food, so
yeah,
I just ended up conceding the last round. But I would have probably, I had a good matchup in the last round. I probably would have been undefeated if I had actually chose to play it, but it was pretty irrelevant. And I think it actually was probably, like, I think I got a better matchup by conceding, because, like, it's 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7. Like, it's not random pairings. So I probably actually got a better matchup by conceding, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And something that people probably don't notice, but it was pretty traumatizing, you know. Turn 9 cloning gallery for the kill twice in a row in top 8. That felt really bad.
Oh man.
After like going 7-0 and then like waiting 4 hours for top 8 cuz I conceded the last round before I left. Like, I just told the admins and they were cool with it. I was just like, I'm going to concede the last round. Can you just like do that for me? And they were like, sure.
Yeah.
So I pretty much just like waited 4 hours and then lost in like 5 minutes. Not literally 5 minutes, probably longer than that, but that's how it felt.
Oh, man.
And it was just like the whole day, man. It was just like so, it's so rough. I feel especially bad for people who get second place.
Right.
Like second place.
Play all the way through.
Like, that just has to feel so bad. I feel so bad for those people, man. They're just like,
well, spend all day doing nothing for nothing.
Like, at least in top 8, you like you're not quite dead yet. Like, you know, you've been 12 hours, but it's like midnight, 2 in the morning. So you're just like, this is probably when I would go to bed anyways. But if you get to the finals and you go to game 5, it's probably like 4 or 5 in the morning. Ugh. Like, that's when you're like actually really fatigued. So those people are just like, man, this just has to be mad depressing.
Yeah.
And you know, those people are like, all right, it's a finals, I'm going to go drink a cup of coffee, make sure I'm awake. And then there's like 3 or 4 hours after they're done.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You're still on that caffeine hit.
Well, even without the caffeine, they're probably on that adrenaline run of making it that far, right?
I think they're on an adrenaline run, but as soon as they lose, they're just depressed.
You're just,
but you still got
out
that adrenaline going. Even if you lose, it's just rough. At least that's what it's always been like for me. Even when losing, I still, if I'm competing and I lose, like, I'm not able to sleep for probably another 3 hours at least.
Really?
Right. Going into anything like that.
I just get incredibly sad if I lose. Not like, no, I do, yeah. No, I just get sad. I'm just like, man.
Well, I'm pretty sad and upset too, but I still have that adrenaline going of that. And then also add on to the thoughts going through my head on what I could have possibly have done to change that situation. And that will be stuck in your head for hours.
I literally like watched, because you're allowed to have Deck Tracker on now. So I just like watched the HS replay VOD or whatever it is, like the play-by-play on HS replay that you can get. And I was just like going through all the options that I had, and it was just like, man, did I make any misplays? And I just kept looking over it and over it, and it's just like, okay, no, I didn't make any misplays. Like, that makes you feel a little bit better, but
yeah, it reassures you a bit.
Like, it does, but it's like, doesn't change the outcome, you know? Like, right. You still lost. It's just you didn't mess up, so you feel less bad about it.
Yep. Yeah, it's, I hate losing. I love winning, but at the same time, if it's that late, it's one of those things where I'm, no matter what, win or lose, I'm going to be up for several more hours after that's over with. And
yeah, I feel you.
That's just the way I am. I feel like most people would be like that, but who knows? Even with coffee or without coffee, even when running an event, I have a hard time decompressing afterwards as well. So
really, even when you run?
Yeah, even when I run an event. Like, we had one where Twiz came out for an Extra Life charity, and we casted a Hearthstone tournament that lasted until 2-3 in the morning, and I did not fall when I got back home. I probably got home around 4. I could not fall asleep, and I think I finally fell asleep around 8 just because of like everything that was going on. Yeah, 8 a.m.
Wow.
Because of everything that was going on, I just could not sleep. Like, there's so much. Like, first of all, my, you know, from doing casting or running around and stuff, you know, you still have, you know, that all of that energy kind of built up, and then and then trying to clear your head. You've been around swarms of people all day, and it's just very difficult to decompress because you're running, you know, you're running things very tightly the whole way through, and you're making sure that everybody's on time. And it's just a whole day of like a million things going on, going through your head. That's hard to get that all out of your head and just relax afterwards.
I feel that. I mean, it's the same way like at events too sometimes, like after like a long day, even though it's like 3 a.m, it still takes you forever to actually.
Yeah, like you just lay there in bed and just can't
sleep.
You just
question your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Or at least I question my life. What led me to this point to be at this event with these nerds?
All right, well, let's actually hop over to the real Hearthstone news, because we do have some stuff to talk about over there.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So first of all, I wanted to thank our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. If you would like to be a legend of the show yourself, or just a patron in general, and get this show a little bit early. This one will be a good one to get, because we did some fun little planning beforehand, and you'll get to hear all of that if you are a patron. But thanks again to our legend of the show, Otaku MZ. Just head over to patreon.com/WorldMetPodcast. So the first thing we want to discuss, just real briefly, but I have a feeling it'll turn into a little bit more than that. last week, I've got a couple emails, I got a couple Twitter DMs, a couple Twitter mentions of this. We gave out some wrong info on
Not necessarily wrong.
On Dust.
Just not 100% just not, correct.
not correct and not optimal. Because I believe we had told people, hey, if you already have a regular legend, you want to get the maximum amount of dust for Genin Baku, go ahead and go craft that golden Genin Baku, and you're gonna get extra dust, and that's actually not true. if you don't, so the deal is, if you want to go for the maximum dust, and anything that is above common, if you already have a normal version of that, don't worry about crafting a golden version of it, because you're gonna net the same amount. However,
so it's the same. It's the same. Doesn't so I just want to add that. If you did follow our advice, you are not having a net loss. It is a zero sum comparatively.
Right. You don't gain anything. You don't lose anything if you did it. So it's not that big of a deal. However, if you want gold cards, absolutely go dust your golden versions of that, because you're getting those for free at the end of the day.
Yeah. So if you're planning on sticking around and staying for a while with these cards, you're going to want them golden. Craft them golden.
Right.
And if you don't understand why you don't get full or you don't go net positive in dust, don't try to understand it. It took me about It took a half hour of JR walking me through the process step by step for me to eventually get it. And I'm still honestly not 100% sure I believe he's right, but I'm going to
I even sent you the math. It shows that I am right, Ray.
I know you did. I just, I don't know, man.
For those questioning, I will just go over very briefly the math associated with this. If you do nothing and you have...
You already have a copy
of Genin Baku, you're going to get 1,600 gold back as a full refund when the set rotates out. Then you can disenchant that Genin Baku for an extra 400 gold. So you're netting 2,000 dust. You're netting 2,000 dust total. So let's say you're in that same position. If you went ahead and went and crafted a golden one, when you get refunded, you only get refunded for the highest amount that, of card that you have. So you will spend 3,200 dust, and then you will get that 3,200 dust back. So you're at zero, right? And then you disenchant that golden one, you get 1,600 dust, and then you go and disenchant your normal one, you get 400 dust, and what is 1,600 plus 400? 2,000 dust gained. You get the same amount of dust no matter what you do, so.
I agree.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, if you have a common and you do not have the golden commons, go ahead and always craft the golden commons, because that will always net you an extra 10 dust by doing that.
Always. Extra 10 dust. Let's
extra
go, baby.
Extra 10 dust. So if you want the maximum dust, always craft golden commons. And if you don't have, like Gin and Baku, go ahead and craft the goldens, because that will actually net you the most as well, I believe. I might be wrong on that. We'll probably have another discussion on that next week.
It nets you the same no matter what. If you have it or if you don't have it.
That's true. Yes. Ignore what I just said. I almost confused myself.
It's okay. I confuse myself all the time. Yeah. Especially like before this show. Like if you have the pre-show. it's just literally me trying to understand what JR just said. Yeah. Like, and he just says the same thing over and over again. I just still don't get it.
Yep.
For like a solid half hour. Yeah. Until eventually it doesn't click and I give up and believe him.
Yeah, that's basically what happened, is Ray just believes me now, which is a dangerous power that I now have.
It's not because of you, though. It's because Danny switched sides. And I
I was confused because I didn't realize that you had that you took into account the disenchant of the original card. Yep. I didn't think of that one.
Yep.
Once Danny switched sides, I knew it was over. I was like, I don't know about this one anymore. I might actually be wrong here.
Okay.
Danny's a pretty smart guy.
But at the end of the day, if you followed our advice last week, it doesn't matter. You just wasted time is all. That's it.
It builds character. You crafted some golden cards. You're building character.
Yeah, and it means...
That's what my dad would say.
Okay, so moving on. We're probably going to get an announcement this week. Things are ramping up. We're getting teasers of things going on. And last week, Hearthstone, the Twitter account, released this little video of the fortune teller, which we saw in Whispers of the Old Gods. And she's getting some schemers and I don't remember what the words were of everything that she was putting together a team. And they've been putting out these little teasers of who's joining her team. And we had the first one was King Togwaggle. The second one, I believe, was Hagitha.
Yep.
The third one.
So the other two haven't been released yet.
Yeah, the other two haven't been released. But the next one's definitely Boom.
Yeah, so it looked like Boom on the card. And we had a leak from both Hearthstone Italy and Hearthstone France where they released the video early.
Mm-hmm.
So it showed Boom, like clearly Boom. And then it hinted at Rafam being the final fifth guy.
Yeah. So there's five villains. That the fortune teller, Togwaggle, Rafim, Hagitha, and Boom. What does it mean?
Dude, they're the villains. They're probably the legendary guys or something.
Yeah, so it's very clear that they have some kind of a villain theme going on, right? But it's also, we know that this is something to do potentially with Dalaran, something to do maybe with the Kirin Tor. We've got the Year of the Dragon showing up. I feel like these characters are very important to the story, if not all of the sets this year, because you remember they were talking about having a continued storyline for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see if we get these, whatever these five villains are, and they're obviously going to be associated with the theme of this next set. If you know, in the next set that we get beyond this, is if it's going to be five heroes that go up against these five villains or something like that, or maybe these five villains are going to be recruiting more.
Maybe it could be over the whole entire year too. That's something that I was thinking about. Maybe not necessarily, maybe like one or two of these guys are involved in this expansion and like their team is throwing together this super evil scheme and trying to take over Azeroth or something. And they're like sending out one set of things, and then like they're going to be the center of the set of this whole year, and they're going to be putting different like obstacles out the entire year, and we as a player are going to have to like dodge them. It'd be interesting to see that in like single player content.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have the occasional, you know how like the Lich King in Naxxramas would be the voiceover guy? Maybe some of these guys are going to be like the voiceover people for solo adventure.
Right. Yeah.
But I do have a tinfoil hat theory for you guys.
Okay.
So similarly to Walt Disney and the tinfoil hat, how they made the movie Frozen. And they did that to cover up some of the stuff going behind the scenes with Walt Disney's frozen body and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Team Five making the team of five villains. So any negative press about Team Five just immediately gets mapped to these five villains. It's the tin hat theory for why it's happening.
The Team Five of the Hearthstone villains.
Yep. I
guess that's
sure. That's a thing.
That's a thing. That's a theory. I agree with you.
I don't think that's it.
I don't either, but I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well,
I agree with you that it's a theory. Not that was.
Yeah, it's definitely a theory.
it's nowhere close to being correct, but I thought it was pretty funny.
it's interesting and wrong, but
interesting
nonetheless. I mean, what if it is? What if you're right? You're probably wrong, but we will never know if you're right. That's the sad thing about conspiracy theories, is that you probably like will never ever know whether or not you're right, because like it's a if you are right, like they're never gonna tell you.
Wow. And if you're wrong, then you're just an crazy idiot, old idiot.
I mean, yep, crazy.
Same difference.
So one of the interesting things that I see about these five that they have is none of these really fit into the Warcraft lore. Like they kind of fit into the Warcraft lore, but they're not prominent like Warcraft figures. So if you think about the early days of Hearthstone, where the cards were like, we've got Sylvanas, we've got Ysera, we've got Alexstrasza, we've got what's the chieftain guy? Not Elite Chorn Chieftain, but Karn. We've got Karn. We have these iconic Warcraft figures that are the legendaries on these cards. And moving forward, it's been interesting to see that Hearthstone is kind of crafting its own lore. And all of these characters that they have on here, like some of them have some Warcraft roots behind them, but really where they've shined, and some of them completely, you know, made up within just Hearthstone lore. And go ahead.
I was going to say, is Dr. Boom like a Hearthstone lore thing?
He was definitely an NPC in World of Warcraft, but he wasn't like...
He was really minor.
It was really minor, yeah. And Rafim is the same way. Okay, but so Hagatha, no. Hogwaggle, not that I remember, maybe. The Fortune Teller, definitely not.
Interesting. Yeah, the Fortune Teller we've seen before, right?
Yeah, we've seen
the
Hearthstone
Whispers
before.
Of the Old Gods.
Yeah.
She was in Whispers of the Old Gods.
Whispers of the Old Gods.
I mean, all of these were in Hearthstone before.
These were all in different sets, right? You had Fortune Teller, Whisper of the Old Gods, Togwaggle was in Kobolds, Hagatha was in Witchwood, mm-hmm. Rafam was in League, and then Boom was GBG. So it's all over, like, Hearthstone.
Yeah. But they're, like, iconic characters. They've become iconic characters within Hearthstone, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Soon enough, Hearthstone's going to have enough of a backstory, they might be able to make an MMO out of it.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to... It's going to be World of Hearthstone, Heroes of World of Warcraft. That's going to be
the name.
What
if that's a thing? That would be pretty funny.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, they're not like, making a World of Warcraft 2. It's they're making a World of Hearthstone.
It's Hearthstone 2. Heroes of World of Warcraft.
Oh, man. But we did some thinking on who, you know, so we've got these five villains. So we got to thinking, we're like, man, maybe there was some more villains that we could include in Hearthstone. So we made a top five list of the top five rejected Hearthstone villains, and I even have some music for it. All right. All right. Danny, we've got the top five rejected Hearthstone villains. Can you lead us off with number five there?
Sure. Number five, we have the Activision Blizzard CEO, Robert Kotick.
Oh, you didn't read it. Come on.
AKA Bobby Cockface.
There you go.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about, Danny. My boy.
All right.
The Bobby.
As for me, in number four, we have the ever-present Paveline Book. That's a villain.
We decided to put that one on there.
I don't know. Nobody laughed, and you guys still have it. So that's I'm just true. Reading. Maybe you guys just gave me the dud. So, you know.
Thanks. That's definitely what happened there.
Yeah, so Ray, what's number
Ray, what's the next one?
All right. The next one is charge.
The keyword.
Just the charge. Keyword charge. That's the villain. That's the villain. Danny, let's go with number two.
Yeah. So we got number two. We have Roger villaining it up right now in HCT.
Could you imagine him being a villain in Hearthstone? Like,
I mean,
just
he
showing up.
Is, right?
I mean, no, in the card game. Like, it's like I'm gonna play.
That would be great.
I'm gonna play Roger. I'm gonna play Roger, and I'm now gonna see everything in your hand. Ha ha ha.
I play Roger, his battle cry is dynamic vision.
Oh, man. And last but not least, number one of the top five rejected Hearthstone villains is Racy591 because he ate the other 590 Racies.
Rest in peace.
Rip.
So good.
They were a martyr for a good cause.
All right. So that was our segment that we spent like all of 5 minutes on, as you can tell by having number four Paveline Book, which you guys decided on, and then don't even laugh at it. So
I thought it was pretty funny. I just think it's funnier to not like laugh and like have it be awkward for you.
I know it was very awkward, and I appreciate it.
What was more awkward was Danny.
Hey, I was pausing for dramatic effect.
No, you said Kotick, dude. That is not.
No, I said his actual name. I said his actual name first, and then I paused, and then you guys freaked out, and then I was like, AKA.
No, you were
Bobby Cockface.
You weren't gonna say it, dude.
You weren't.
No way.
I wanted to wait because I know that this is occasionally a PG-13 show.
This is usually a pretty PG show. We keep it PG, but now that Pikachu is swearing, I mean, oh,
yeah, right.
All hell's about to break loose.
Yep.
Oh, I can't wait for that movie, by the way.
That movie looks pretty good. Detective Pikachu. Yeah, I'm excited for it. All right. As we were talking, the announcement, maybe Thursday, Friday this week. We actually expected it today, originally, because that's why we decided to do the episode today, because we thought that we'd be getting an announcement earlier and then being able to talk about it, but it's probably going to come Thursday or Friday, I'm assuming. The last and final thing in the news was the HCT Championship tickets, which are available. You can go buy those if you really want to go out to Pi and do all of that. But the interesting thing about that is we kind of knew this, but now it's at least official that the World Championships is going to be played with a new set when it's released. In fact, it'll probably be the first major event with the new set. And there's some confusion because I saw some people talk on Twitter about how they thought this was also meant the new specialist format. And that's not the case. It's just the new set. And they're still going to be playing by the old HCT rules in the World Championship.
Yeah, it's still going to be Conquest. It's the last Conquest tournament ever.
Yep.
Unless they bring it back.
That's true. So when are those dates? I forgot. It's like sometime in April, right?
Yeah, that's what they tell us. It's in Taiwan. I think it's in Taipei or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not going to go there. So
yeah, I'm not going out there either. If Blizzard paid for it, I'd go, but you know,
Yeah, but... same.
Shoot. I went to go look it up, and all I see is the last championship tour dates, which happened a couple weeks ago. I was hoping to find it really, really quick.
Yeah, they're really bad with their websites.
They are terrible sometimes with finding information. And I should have just had this up. April 25th is when it begins. April 25th is when group stages begin. April 26th, April 27th, with the grand finals being on my birthday, April 28th.
Nice.
So, that's fun.
So now we know what you're doing on your birthday to celebrate.
I'm probably... sure. I will probably watch the grand finals. I do like watching championship Hearthstone, so I will.
It should be interesting too with the new sets. It'll be a nice shakeup.
Yeah, that's gonna be actually really exciting, and that also means the new set probably slated to drop soonish. I mean, we already know that, but like, I don't know. That's exciting.
Well,
just knowing that we're on the horizons of like huge changes,
right?
And a new set,
right? So the Angoro thing that they're doing is the week of April 2nd, I believe. So we're probably looking at the new set being launched like the second week of April.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that sounds about right. And then that would give time for them to get their decks sorted out for a couple weeks to get everything going and submitted for the World Championship. So it might be the first week. First or second week, I would imagine. So.
Wouldn't it be sick if they did something like League of Explorers where they're like, the set is coming out next Thursday?
Yeah.
That was like the coolest thing ever.
It was. That was, but I think they really like the hype that leads up to it with the cards getting revealed by different people and people being able to talk about them and then having a couple different live streams and stuff like that. They have shortened that gap because remember that used to be like a trickle and they've kind of now have made it like a 3-week ordeal instead of like a 7-week ordeal.
Yeah, I don't think they can do it anymore just revealing it straight away because that was an adventure.
Yeah.
So it's like there wasn't that many cards.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's true. Now they have to give one to like everyone except for us.
Yeah.
Feels bad, man. One day.
We had one before.
That was a while. I remember that.
That was a long time ago.
It was Ravaging Ghoul, right? It was actually a really good card, too.
Yeah, it was a really good card. Yeah, it was Ravaging Ghoul was the one that we got.
Because I don't know if I was on the show that episode, but I remember
it was me, John, and Kevin.
I remember like I might have just listened to the episode and just like somehow inserted myself in there in my memory.
Does sound like a Ray thing to do.
Podcast.
She's like, man,
that does sound like a Ray thing to do. Just insert yourself in to the thing and take credit for it. Sounds good.
Yes, I actually designed Ravaging Ghoul by myself. I remember the dev meeting like it was yesterday.
Yeah. I remember saying, yes, give this card to John, Kevin, and JR to reveal because I'm the one that created it.
Exactly, dude. That's what happened, I think. I'm pretty sure. Right. I don't know. It could have been one of the other 590 races, actually. I think it's like a thing. Or like once you consume the other ones, you also gain their memories.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like a cross between Highlander and Doctor Who, where you just kind of take over their powers, and there can only be one Ray-C, and by killing the others, you just kind of take over their powers. But at the same time, it's like Doctor Who, where you're almost kind of reincarnated into a new Ray-C, but not really because you're not really reincarnated into a new Ray-C, but you kind of still have all of the memories of the past races.
Makes sense. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
Man, we're making lore about Ray now.
Well, he is the number one top rejected Hearthstone villain. So there is definitely has to be lore around this.
Yeah. They have to have a story if they're going to put it in the game.
Right. Right. I mean, it just, he was almost there. He was almost there.
He'll star in the second WoW.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft 2, Hearthstone 2.
Hearthstone 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, I was going to say World of Warcraft 2, Hearthstone Boogaloo, or something like that. All right. So anyway, we wanted to talk a little bit about the meta a little bit now, because it seems like with the new tournament changes, there's the meta has kind of shifted a little bit in how... At least for how tournaments are, you know, very much. So where we've got the specialist format, you got one deck other than your secondary and your Terry decks, as Racy puts it. And it's very focused now, I think, on there's only a handful of, you know, decks that are probably doing very well. And I think you and Danny wanted to talk about that a little bit, Ray.
Yeah, I'll talk about my experiences with the Specialist Cups. I mean, first, I think I should talk about the experience like outside of the game first, just so you guys who are listening know what to expect if you're going to actually join one of these cups. And we have a Discord a section on our Discord as well, which talks about like specialist musings and stuff like that. But I would say they last around 12 hours minimum. Like if you are playing in one of these cups, since only first place gets something, you should always expect to assume that you win and like a lot that much time to like the tournament. You know what I mean? Like you shouldn't go into it with like only 8 hours of free time when there's no way the cup's going to end in 8 hours. It's more likely 12 hours. And like if you're going to win. So it's just like you should always plan for it to be at least 12 hours. Like if you're going to take a day off and plan one, don't plan something like 8 hours from when it starts, because you're not going to finish by then. Realistically, I think the shortest one that has happened was the one that my friend won, because he played against the same decks in top 8, top 4, and the finals, and it was just like an instant win. So the whole finals, for the whole top 8 for him probably took like an hour, which was ridiculous. It was actually really cool to see. I was like, I wasn't home, and I just checked the brackets, and then like I checked back an hour later, and he's already won. I was like, what just happened?
What happened here? Yeah.
That was probably the shortest cup I've seen so far, and that one was around 10 hours still. So definitely want to plan ahead for that. Most of it's just waiting. You probably play for like, depending on what deck you're playing, as long as you're not playing Warrior, you're probably waiting a half hour. And even if you are playing Warrior, you're probably not like one of the people that are actually making the cups go longer. It's more like you play for a half hour and then you wait for an hour and a half, because there's always one matchup where there's a Warrior or something, and it just takes forever. Or there's just people. There have been people that I think there needs to be some type of like spirit of the game rule, because there was some dude that got mad that he lost game one to like some top deck, and he just roped the other person every turn playing Control Warrior, and it held up the whole tournament for 2 hours.
Oh my god.
So it's just like, I feel like there needs to be some type of spirit of the game, like, you know what I mean? Like, just don't be a jerk rule.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is one troll to hold up a whole tournament. And yeah, they can do, since this is Swiss, they can do that every single round.
Right.
Like, if I wanted to, I could hold up a whole tournament. I could extend a tournament to last, like, 5 hours longer than it normally would.
How do you enforce that, though? That's the big thing, right? Where one of the guys goes in, it becomes a he said, she said type thing, where, like, one person's like, oh, he's roping every turn. The other guy's like, no, I'm not. And, like,
I mean, it's pretty simple.
You screenshot the rope, I guess.
Well, no, you would just, like, the admins could literally, if it's somebody who's doing...
spectate.
Yeah, they can just spectate and tell them to hurry up or they're going to get a game loss. Which is like, okay, then you could argue, hey, that's not fair. But if it's something that's habitual, like they're just roping every turn and there's no decisions to be made, they're just being a jerk, I think that should be in the rules, which currently it's not really, or at least it's not something they're enforcing. And I think that's kind of a thing that needs to be addressed. I think there's actually a lot of trolls in these events, and their sole goal is to just mess with people. Not people specifically, like specific people, just like the tournament as a whole.
Yeah. And this, like, is...
You also have the salty effect too, where, like you said, someone loses the first round, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, I'm not going to win this thing, so I might as well make it miserable for everyone.
Right.
Like, there are the spiteful people like that.
Yeah, the spiteful summoners.
The spiteful summoners. No, there's also just like, there was someone who created like a fake Discord and then like said drop me as like there was somebody who was like 4-0. I don't remember the name of the player. I think it was actually Watt, which is pretty funny. He's actually like a known like stream sniper or something. And somebody just trolled him, made a Discord, like changed their Discord name to Watt, and then said, could you please drop me? And then the admins dropped Watt from the tournament on Battlefy. And then Watt came back in the next round to realize he was dropped. and he was like, what is going on here? Like, why am I dropped from the tournament? And they're like, well, you said to drop. And I was like, no, that wasn't me. And oh, then they checked, like, the on Battlefy, you have to put your Discord. So they checked, and it wasn't him. It was, like, somebody just trolling.
Good job, and it's admin.
Like, well, the thing is, it's not really, it's not easy to check.
Right.
It's so hard, because you have people drop it, like, so many people drop every round, and there's only 2 to 5 admins at most for any given tournament. Like, there's not that many of them. So to actually go and like match the I don't even think they have access to do that unless they ask for it too. It's like not something that's just immediately in front of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Battlefy name that they put in for their Discord name and all that stuff, and I don't know, it's just been chaotic. So it's an experience, and they've definitely been very not fun. But you got some packs though, you know. I've accrued about 20 packs or so. That's pretty
cool.
What
are the pack rewards?
Top 8 is 10. Mm. And like top 16 is like 5 maybe. And then 3. And then you get like 1 for playing. Maybe 2 for top 64.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So it's like,
get a little bit, I mean,
it's still nothing compared to the time that you put in. Right. But you can actually allocate them to different servers. So I just put them all in Asia. And then I was able to actually get like build decks on Asia because I just put like 20 packs onto Asia.
It's not a bad
stuff
idea.
Like that.
Yeah.
I
was gonna say, I think this points out the need for, I've talked about this before, the need for tournament mode in a way to run these style of tournaments, because the way that you end like these taking so long and the way that you end trolls forcing them to go longer is by enforcing within the client some kind of time limit over the, I'm going to start up this tournament and it takes 50 minutes and your games need to be done in the 50 minutes or we go into overtime rules or, you know, something like that. And I know in Magic the Gathering, it's when time is up, you have 5 turns between the two people to decide who is winning. Basically, if you can kill the other person or not, otherwise it's
and then you can enforce special rules too, like the control warrior mirror when it goes to, like, let's say it goes to the turn limit or something, and then the unofficial rule is whoever has the most armor at the end, you can actually implement that in client as opposed to externally. Like, you could do a lot of the things like the time limit, right, where it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, someone, it's 2-2, whoever has the most health at this point wins. Like, yeah. you could make it so much smoother.
Yeah,
and then rounds would also be quicker too, because it's like, yep. All right, well, instead of checking in on Battlefy and then doing all of this stuff, like, immediately it pops up, all right, your next game is ready to go. You don't have to add the person.
Right.
You don't have to do any of that.
You get your decks locked in for the tournament. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they could do to improve this whole situation and not have their players sit through 14 hours of one open. It would reduce the time to more like 8 hours, maybe. And so you'd still have a long day ahead of you, but you would stop some of these 2 hour or more rounds.
Yeah, I mean, just a chess clock, like what Artifact did, is honestly fine. I think Artifact, that was the one thing that they did well. Their tournament mode was actually solid. Everything else died, but that was good. That was the one thing they nailed. I wish Hearthstone had adopted something similar, but
I don't know if it's ever gonna. I don't know if it's ever gonna come either.
Well, maybe they opted out of tournament mode because they realized they were switching, and they're like, All right, we need to.
That's a theory that I have. Is the reason why is because they knew that they were switching.
Mm.
So maybe they go in and they have one in the books and they're like transitioning it or something.
Maybe. Who knows?
Hopefully.
If it's true. That would be nice. But as for like the actual metagame of the specialist tournaments, I would say if you want to win, just play Hunter. Yep. Like mid-range Hunter or Death Rattle Hunter. They're both very, very powerful. People have been playing Odd Mage and they've been playing like weird warrior decks and stuff like that. But they're just not consistent. Like, even Odd Mage, like, as an Odd Mage fan, I even tried playing Big Mage in the first event, and it's just like, sure, like, you beat Hunters, but then you lose to everything else. And there's actually quite a bit of Priest, like, Control Priest, Cloning Priest. Like, there's just so many people playing in these tournaments that especially the newer players, or at least the less experienced tournament players, like they might not actually be playing Hunter. Like, even though Hunter's strictly just the best deck and it's taking up the most spots in all of the top eights, in the beginning rounds, I've noticed, like, when I don't play Hunter, I just get rolled. Like, I tried playing Rogue and I hit two Odd Paladins and I just got wrecked. I haven't played against Odd Paladin in one I played in today while I was playing Hunter, and I still got wrecked, but that was just unlucky. That was an anomaly. I should have won that one. But yeah, it's just a lot of Hunter. It's as sad as that sounds, and as demoralizing as that might be, I think Hunter is just strictly superior to everything else right now, and it doesn't make much sense not to play it unless you really, really have a passion for a different deck. Like, all the other decks are playable. I would say Odd Paladin is playable, but you're going to lose to Priest, and you're definitely going to play Priest. You can't lose more than one round. You can only afford to lose one round. X2 does not make it most of the time. So you have to go 8 rounds only losing once, and Hunter has the most 50-50 matchups out of any deck, whereas if you play something like Odd Mage or Odd Paladin, all it takes is hitting Priest once and then like another deck once that's not Hunter, and you're done. Your run is over. So it's really difficult to be consistent when you're not playing Hunter.
So when you're playing Hunter, what are you putting in to like your secondary and your Terry decks?
So for the secondary deck, it's more I'm trying to go anti-control stuff. So I want to put in stuff like Owl. Q-Block is somewhat popular. Even Lock is somewhat popular. And I just want to be able to silence stuff and get through for lethal. Cards like Bear Shark are pretty decent, just because against Priest and stuff, it's a 4-3 that can't really be targeted, so it's not bad. You could add second Dire Frenzy if you're already playing one. You could just add the second one. Stuff like that. And then for the anti-aggro deck, people have done a lot of different stuff, but for me, I found the most successful way of building a Hunter deck that beats other Hunter decks, along with other aggro decks in general, is I just add, like, Unleash the Hounds and Witchwood Grizzlies. Witchwood Grizzlies have been insanely good, and I don't actually see like anybody playing them. I see very few of the top 8 lists actually play Witchwood Grizzlies, which is kind of weird to me. Like, I've seen people even play Cave Hydra just as a 3-mana 2/4 that has the cleave effect. So there's a lot of innovation that's going on in the anti-aggro Hunter, like Terry versions.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
You've played, I believe you played Big Mage. I've seen, you've talked about, why does my computer want to restart right now? Hang on a second. No, do not restart now. Okay, anyway, that was weird. Thank you, Windows 10. Now I forgot what I was gonna ask. Okay, yeah, so your other the other deck, classes, yeah. You played Big Mage. You played. I know that you tried playing Odd Rogue. I think, and
yes, no, it was Tempo Rogue.
Rogue. How did that one go? What, like,
terrible for me? Everybody, I actually posted in the Discord like, today is the day to play Tempo Rogue, and then that day Tempo Rogue actually dominated all the open cups. Like, half of the top 8 for like most of the top 8s that day were the Tempo Rogue deck, but I ran into Odd Paladin and the deck doesn't even play Phantom Knives, so did not go well for me. But it destroys Priest, it does well against Hunter, and it just kind of, it does very well against those mid-rangey decks that people have been liking, and does very poorly against Odd Paladin, and probably doesn't do well against like Odd Warrior and stuff like that. But
so everything that's doing super well sounds like it's tempo, mid-range, right
now. There are some warriors that have been popping up. Like, I think people have started to refine control lists, and slowly they've been kind of creeping up, and like probably 3 or 4 of the qualifiers have been won with warrior at this point. But the lists have been really weird, and a lot of the people are just like, this is my first try. I had no idea what I'm doing. Like, this deck, like, I would not recommend playing like the secondary or Terry versions, because like, I just threw in random stuff and I didn't even use them. Like, a lot of the people that have been playing like not Hunter and stuff have just said that they just use their main deck like almost 100% of the time. Like the person that played the cloning gallery priest that I lost to said he almost never used any of his other like sideboard decks. He just played the main deck the whole tournament because they had no idea. It was just like they just wanted to play in it, and like most people are signing up last second and just submitting whatever.
Yeah.
So how late can you sign up for one of these?
You can sign up right before check-in starts.
Really?
Yeah, as long as you check in as soon as check-in starts, like as long as you check in right away, you're fine. Most of the tournaments like are close to the cap of 224, but if it says like 600 people registered, like most of those people aren't showing up. Like those are people who, like me, just went and signed up for all of them at the beginning just so they could guarantee a spot. But then, I mean, 90% of them don't actually show up. So as long as you're there at the beginning of check-in, you're honestly fine. Like I've not run into a single issue yet.
Well, that's interesting. I might try to play in some this weekend.
Yeah, I might. Man, I wish I would have known that this last weekend.
Yeah,
I have
Friday off. I'm gonna play him on a Friday.
I had plenty of free time this last weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty fun until like it's fun for the first few rounds. Until you realize that there's 5 more rounds to go, and then if you make top 8, there's 3 more rounds to go, which means there's 8 more rounds to go, and it started at 2, and it's already 6 o'clock, and you're like, oh man.
See, for me, I just lose my first 2 rounds, and I'm out, so it's like 4 hours wasted.
That's true.
That's the strat, and plan on losing.
Just plan on
don't
losing.
Don't take Ray's advice and block off 12 hours. Plan on losing.
Right. Exactly. That's my philosophy going in. Actually, I tend to do pretty well at these kind of tournaments. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not like top 8 quality, but I'd probably go X2 maybe X3.
Sometimes it's just your day. Like it honestly does not like being a pro player or something. Like knowing the intricacies of certain matchups and like how to play certain scenarios is obviously very. Like it gives you an edge and it's very helpful, but anybody can just high roll. Like you can just go turn 1 Dire Mole into turn 2 Razor Maw for +3 attack and just kill your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Hearthstone. Like there's so many people who are just like, wow, this is my first tournament and I just won that just had no idea what they were doing. And they literally like tweeted, I had no idea what I was doing. Like I just high rolled. Like,
yeah, that's kind of, it's actually kind of cool to see though, to be honest.
It feels cool to see until you play against them and they go turn 9 cloning gallery and they just have mind blast and you're dead both games in top 8 and you want to cry and then you curl into the fetal position and question whether or not to jump out your window. But it's pretty cool.
No, that sounds cool. That sounds cool, man.
it is cool. I do enjoy I like an average Joe can win as long as an average Joe has a day off from work and 12 hours to spare.
Yep. So lots of average Joes.
I bet there are a lot. It's pretty packed in the weekends.
Yeah.
I took Saturday off, so I actually don't know. And I didn't really play Sunday because I lost pretty early. So I don't know. And I've also been playing on different servers. Like with those packs, like I have a like Hunter's so cheap to build that with the packs, like the 20 packs that I got, plus like the legendaries that I got from like each set coming out and stuff, I just had enough to build Hunter and craft Rexxar, which is basically Hunter. So it was super easy, and that was pretty nice.
Yeah, I thought Hearthstone was pay to win though, Ray.
Nope. Hunter, dude. It's cheap. It's a cheap deck. Jace was telling me, man, you got to get on these Asia tournaments because you can just build Hunter. Like all you need to do is
build Hunter,
maybe buy the
win.
Welcome pack at most. Yeah, like the welcome pack is like $5. It comes with the legendary and 5 packs or something. So that's honestly just enough to build Hunter if you've gotten your packs from like each set releasing the last year.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Have
there been any like really wonky decks that you've seen from other classes like Druid or Shaman do well?
Mm-hmm. No, it's just been Warlock, Warrior, and like Hunter. There was one Mage deck. There was one like odd mage that did well, one big mage that did well, and you can actually find all the information on yaytiers.com/battlefy. He made like a program that scrapes Battlefy for all the data. So he has like every single qualifier, and then you just click it and it tells you like all the top eight, like who played it, and then shows you their decks. It's a really good resource.
Mm. Yeah, I'm on that right now. Looks really sweet.
Nice.
And then yeah, it shows you all three versions of the decks as well, where they placed in the Swiss. Like, this is everyone's deck lists. Mm. So I'm looking at your deck list right now, Ray.
I'd be interested in seeing like someone like this compiling like a specialist meta report. You know how we have the ladder meta reports. I would like to see someone, you know, start grabbing this information from these tournaments and what is doing well, and then having a meta report based on these tournaments.
That would be pretty cool. And they also show you like the difference in the decks. Like, instead of just figuring out the differences, there's a button that says show differences. Mm-hmm. So you don't actually have to go through and like try to figure it out for yourself, which for me, that can actually be kind of difficult, because it's just like, all right, what is it? What did I miss? Like, what's the one card they cut? And then, you know what I mean?
Right. Yep. No, I think something like that would be kind of cool.
We should do it.
You have the information already, right? So just scraping and going from there.
Yeah, we could do it.
We could do it. I don't have the time, so someone else out there listening, I just gave you the idea. I'm sure the idea's already been thought about, and there's probably already someone working on it.
Probably.
So, moving on, though, we did have an email. We were going to talk about it last week, but we went way over last week. So we have it this week. So the email is from Card Shark, and he says, "Hi, guys. I'm a big fan of the show. With Year of the Dragon announced and the new set right around the corner, I'd like to get your opinions, mostly Danny's, on how to make the transition to Wild. I started playing Hearthstone 2 years ago, and I've got most of the standard set of cards, and don't want to disenchant some of the powerful cards I love, like Uther and Alunith. I don't know much about the Wild meta. Will most standard decks be easy to transition over into Wild decks, or will I have to drop a ton on crafting Wild cards? Where do you recommend that I start? Anyway, thanks for all the great work that you guys do. I really enjoy listening to the show on my commute. Keep up the good work. Danny."
Yeah. So thanks for all the, you. thanks for the question, Card Shark. So typically, if you want to just transition your deck from a standard deck to a Wild deck, most decks at this moment right now have a corollary. So like you said, Odd Mage, there's Odd Mage and Wild, it does okay. If you want to make a transition, that's perfectly reasonable, and there's typically minimal Wild cards that you'll need to make for changes. There's probably one or two cards you'll need to make, but it really depends on how deep you really want to get into the Wild metagame. You will always be able to, from like a standard deck, come up with like a tier one, two, tier three deck. But if you're looking for tier one decks, a lot of them are fairly Wild exclusive. There are definitely a core set of Wild cards that are just very, very strong that you should have. The N'Zoth, Sludge Belcher, like Mad Scientist, stuff like that. But what I would personally do if you're just trying to slowly transition over into Wild is pick one of the decks that you already have in Standard. Take a look at some of the meta snapshots, like the Tempo Storm, Vicious Syndicate. There was one actually that just came out recently, the Rank Star one. So take a look at the deck lists there. See if you have like an Anagalus one that where there's like a comparison between them. And then just look for the Wild cards in those and then stick with those decks. But it's fairly easy to make that transition. There's not that many. The big thing in the long run is that your deck's not going to change that much as time goes along. You'll add the really strong Wild cards. And then from then on in, once you have a Wild deck, it's going to be fairly the same as time goes along. Just the occasional tech card put in, the occasional new card from the set. So that's what I would do first. And then if you want to start going deeper into the Wild side of things, you can start looking at like Reno Lock and other decks like that from old times. But starting off from a current standards like card pool, I would take some of your decks and then just turn them into Wild decks, looking at some of the meta snapshots for guides. I was gonna say, Ray, you played a little bit of Wild when we had the Wild Cup going on, playing for top 100. How was that going from a standard collection? I'm not sure if you had all the wild cards or if you crafted some of the ones.
I actually just had all of them on NA. I never really disenchanted any of like the big boys. Like I still have like Golden Dr. Boom and stuff like that. So I was pretty set. I didn't have to do anything except for craft like some random wild cards that became good. I forget. Like I think there was one point.
Like the Totem Carver and Shaman. There are a couple. Yeah. So when Gen and Baku came, there were some cards that got introduced. That's one of the things that does happen fairly frequently in Wild. When new standard cards come in, old Wild cards become relevant again. So just like when Raza Priest was a thing in standard, all of a sudden Spawn of Shadows became a good card, even though like throughout the history of Hearthstone, there was no meta deck that really ran Spawn of Shadows. All of a sudden, one of the old cards becomes common again. So you got to keep that on your radar. That's something that you definitely see when new sets come out, and that it does help to have a big collection on that. But a lot of the times you can find alternatives to it. Like if you're for Reno Lock, for example, there are many different packages that you can run, and like the N'Zoth package is as good as the Rin and some other packages. So there are always a lot of substitutions that you can make. That's one of the things where it's like, if you look at something that's really dust heavy and you're trying to be safe on that, try to look at some of the other packages that you could potentially put in.
Yeah. Like I said, my experience was just like random cards like Totem Carver and stuff like that that I ended up having to craft, but in general it was pretty easy. There was also a lot of cheap aggro decks that are somewhat similar to the standard decks.
Yeah, like Master's Call Hunter in Wild runs 5 wild cards, like not even including the duplicates. I think it's just like double Quick Shot, double Kindly Grandmother, and another card or something. So it's like very, very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really when you get into control decks when it starts to go and really start branching off a little bit. Like you had mentioned Alunith. So the Secret Mage list is very similar to the Secret Mage list that used to be around maybe 3 sets ago. That's probably the closest one. But I mean, you just have to craft Mad Scientists at that point and Medivh's Valets. So that's probably it. Maybe a Roaring Torch or two if you want to run that. But a lot of the times too, you can run, like I said, the packages that you can run. You could run like Mass Contender, you can run Flame Waker, you can run Ice Lance. There are a bunch of different packages that you can put in, and they're all around the same power level. So don't feel that if you look at some of these deck lists and they're like, oh my god, there's so many different cards. Try to look around and get a feel for the deck if you're looking at different resources. See if there's multiple iterations of the deck. Find one that's close to your current card pool and craft what you need from there.
Yep. I think Danny hit the nail on the head on all of this, because that's the cool thing about the Wild format is if you've been playing for any amount of time in Hearthstone, like, you already have a pretty good lead on Wild at that point, because a lot of your stuff can just convert over, and there's a lot of stuff that you could get rid of that you won't need, and then you can craft a handful of cards that you would need for Wild. Like, I still feel like Wild is the cheapest format to play.
Mm-hmm. And then also, you can play standard decks in Wild.
Right.
You're not going to have the same win rate.
Yeah,
you're not going to have the same win rate. It might knock off a percentage point here or there, but like the current Odd Mage list is like, you add in a Dr. Boom and then you add in like 2 or 3 more cards, but you can ultimately play the Odd Mage list from standard in Wild and do fairly well. Like your good matchups are still going to be good, just maybe not as good. Your bad matchups might be decreased a little bit, but ultimately, if you want to just like... up until you start getting super competitive into it, you can get rank 5 with most standard decks easy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think the key to like Hearthstone in general is just learning how to get to like rank 5. Like if you can't get to rank 5 easily, like you need to learn how to improve your basic mechanics of the game. And just like once you nail that, everything else becomes so much easier. Doesn't matter what the format is.
Agreed. I think that is a really good point. But we were talking about Dr. Boom, and I just had a realization. What if what we were talking about earlier, with the five heroes or five villains. What if they're coming back? What if Dr. Boom's coming back, guys?
What if they're reprinting? I mean, I could see them coming back, but I feel like they would be different cards, kind of like they did with
Deathwing.
They've done that with like Elise Mechathune, and Deathwing.
And Deathwing.
Right.
Yeah.
I just feel like I just feel like Dr. Boom is, at this point, has been so overused at different variations. That maybe they just bring back the 7-mana 7/7.
He wouldn't be that overpowered in standard at this point, based off of the way that Hearthstone's gone.
No,
he'd be strong. He'd be like the core of a set, but he wouldn't be as oppressive as he was in the past. The game's changed.
Wow.
Like if you look at Wild, like Dr. Boom is in 2 meta decks right now, and then like that's only the on a fringe when you're trying to be really greedy with an aggro deck. Like he used to be in every single deck.
Right.
I mean, my whole like conspiracy falls apart when I look at Hagatha still on there, right? Because Hagatha isn't rotating out or anything.
Do they map to what the arena set is? Because I know that the arena one is like they have old gods, they have Nexramus. That's not one of them. So I like maybe they're like, because I would have thought that maybe they're, if you go and introduce that and they say surprise, the core set has changed, these are the like standard sets now, that would be nuts.
That would be kind of amazing, but I don't see them doing that.
Yeah.
What were the rotating arena sets? I know you said Nax, but I was curious on what the other ones were. Old Gods, Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, Curse of Naxxramas, The Witchwood, and the first expansion for this year. So Mean Streets of Gadgetzan, I don't believe any of those came out of that either.
No, they don't map to them.
Yeah, I was trying to think of Rafim.
Rafam was League.
Yeah, he was League. That's right. Yep. One palm.
Rafam was a pretty cool card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the video today of all the, when you had the solo player content, when he steals your deck, of all the streamers' reactions to it. It was awesome. It was great because no one, I loved how no one knew about it. And then all of a sudden they organically see that Rafam just steals your deck. Because that one moment is just like, oh my god. And then I really like the solo player content that really throws you for a loop where it's like, all right, I really need to rebuild my deck. Because you don't know what you're going into. Like when you had Lich King and you're playing as the Hunter, right? And then all of a sudden it deals damage to you for every minion you had in your deck. And then it just kills you outright turn one.
Yep.
Like those types of moments where it just blows you up or like destroys you because it's like unconventional deck building or whatever. Like those were awesome. That's something really cool that we that I'd like to see in the solo player content moving forward.
Yeah, unfortunately, the solo player content moving forward is just going to be dungeon runs on steroids.
But maybe they do something like that, right?
Maybe.
I'd like to see, like, some try of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually did enjoy stuff like League of Explorers. I remember at BlizzCon, everybody was trying to get the Golden Monkey before, like, the demo ran out.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Like, that was actually fun. Yep. But after that, like, once... I feel like it's more once they didn't give us a reason to have to do it. Like, if you say, like, you don't unlock cards for doing this, but you unlock, like, a hero skin or a card back or something, it's like, that, then I just stop caring. I'm just like, eh.
Just give me the cards. Like, force me to play this and get the cards.
Yeah, it's just like, give me the cards already. Like, I don't want to play this.
Yep.
As sad as that might sound.
All right. I think it's time to get out of here, guys. So, I just wanted to once again thank our legend of the show, Taku MZ. If you would like to potentially be a legend of the show yourself or just a patron and get our extended show, we have other rewards out there. You can get some coaching with Ray, maybe get some insight from him on these open cups, maybe help train for him or things like that. Just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. And you will help support the show in many ways. If we can get, like, I swear, if we can get, like, just, like, 50 listeners giving, like, $1 or $2 each, like, I would want to do for sure, like, some kind of a tournament, like a well-met tournament, using the specialist format. We can figure out something fun with it and give that money back, you know, in a way. I think that would be really cool. So if you're interested in that, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. In fact, I think one of our stretch goals or whatever they're called is doing a tournament like that. We just haven't hit it yet. So, iTunes, we didn't have any new iTunes reviews this week. If you'd like to give an iTunes review and help out the show in other ways by, you know, getting it out there to other people, you can leave a 5-star review and we'll read it on next week's show. And if you want to email us, we just read that email. Just email us over at wellmet@blizzpro.com. We love emails. We love to answer emails. I think that's it. So shout outs, and how can people get in touch with you? Ray, have any shout outs?
Shout outs to the Wellmet people who watched me stream the other day. That was pretty cool. There's a couple people who came in. They were like, yo, we listened to Wellmet. It's nice. Pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. And yeah, the coaching thing, I think more importantly than learning about the specialist format is just learning how to improve your micro gameplay, like learning how to just make trades better and just think about the whole ebb and flow of the game more optimally. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people, like, if you can't consistently get legend easily, it's that's more of what, like, you're going to be learning. It's just how to improve overall so you can consistently get legend easily and stuff like that.
Yeah. I need coaching from you, Ray, because I was just naming stuff that I was thinking about, but obviously you would know better than I would.
Dude, I'm like that SpongeBob episode where he tries to learn about fine dining and he throws away everything in his memory about anything else besides fine dining.
Mm-hmm.
That's me with Hearthstone.
There you go.
Like, I have no other space left in my brain for anything.
No, I get it. I get it, because I spent 30 minutes trying to explain to you how this dusting stuff worked. So I totally get it, man.
Yeah, I totally get it. You are literally just an idiot, because that's all you know at this point. I understand.
Yeah. No, I
savage.
Yeah.
I start calling you Amnesiac because you're the young savage.
Oh, no, I'm the old savage, man. My birthday's coming up next month, and I turn old.
Is that an age?
Yes.
They call it turning ancient.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, congratulations on turning old.
I'm turning old. Next month, I'm turning old.
I wonder if my mom's hit that age yet.
You know, no, your mom will never reach that age. Because moms never reach the age of old.
Sounds like a lie.
No, I mean, just always tell your mom that.
Okay.
You'll go far in life.
You're smart, man.
Yeah. Moms are worth it. Yep. So, Danny, how about you?
For me, you can find me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS. My shout-out today... you know what? I'm going to have to give my shout-out to my good old friend, Activision CEO Bobby Cockface.
Oh, my God.
He may be a rejected Hearthstone villain, but I think he has promise for Hearthstone 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh my god, you've broken me. I don't... Oh, man.
That's a comeback we didn't...
I didn't realize that was going to show up again on this show. Oh,
I
man. Especially
either,
during a
shout-out.
I'm really happy it did. I'm really happy it did.
Yeah,
oh,
good job.
As for me, I don't have any shout outs. Danny's broken me and I've lost all creative thought at this point. But you can find me over on Twitter at Eldorian. where I tweet things sometimes, and I've been told I'm really boring on Twitter, so you may not want to follow me. But if you do, it's at Eldorian. So anyway, I think that's it. So thanks again for joining us for episode 189 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments. Comments? What? I don't know what I said there. Comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks again to Jake Butno for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week.